Jesus, what a friend for sinners.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sovereign Grace Today with Michael Goins. Our theme this week has been the doctrines of grace. These great truths form the theological foundation of our convictions at Lexington Primitive Baptist Church. We believe that salvation is of the Lord, from start to finish, His free gift bestowed upon unworthy sinners. His grace operates sovereignly, that is, independent of human agency, and successfully, that is, without the possibility of failure. Therefore, He receives all the glory. Today, Michael will conclude this week-long study with a message titled, The Preservation of the Saints.
My text for today's message is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The premise of my message today is that the God who planned salvation is also the God who executed and applied salvation. And today we note He is also the God who will consummate salvation and complete the work that He began. Grace is the key word of Christianity. It's a key that unlocks the meaning of the New Testament. God is called the God of all grace. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, Jesus Christ is said to be full of grace and truth. And the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of grace in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. And the gospel message is called the gospel of the grace of God. Grace, then, is the heart and soul of the gospel message. What is it? Well, it is God's love extended to those who deserve His wrath. It is God taking the initiative to love the unlovely and acting voluntarily to extend kindness to His enemies. Grace is God blessing where He is not obligated to bless. And this week we have learned that because man is dead in trespasses and in sins by nature, because he is unable to recover himself, if God did not take the initiative and move toward man by His own sovereign purpose and His own love, then no one would ever be saved. You see, the doctrine of total depravity makes salvation by grace alone a necessity if anyone is ever saved. So grace means that the Lord does the work. He does it from start to finish. He began the work in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. He performed the work at the cross of Calvary. He applies it when a person is born again. Today we note the fact that all of those who were loved by the Father and redeemed by the Son and called by the Holy Spirit will be preserved in grace, kept by the power of God, and shall be eternally saved. The God who planned the work and executed it and applied it will also consummate it and complete the work that He began. Our text refers to this when it says, May God preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The God who has given you spiritual life will complete the work that He began. I love Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Taking off on this verse, Augustus Toplady, the hymn writer, wrote, The work that His goodness began, the arm of His strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future, nor things that are now, not all things below or above, can make Him His purpose forego, or sever my soul from His love. My name from the palms of His hands eternity will not erase. Impressed on His heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. My friends, the heir of grace cannot lose his salvation. Now, it's certainly true that God's people may walk in darkness and disobedience in this world, losing the joy of their salvation in their temporal existence. David prayed in Psalm 51 after his sin, the great sin of his life, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now, it's important to notice that he didn't pray, "Lord, restore to me your salvation." He didn't lose his salvation, but he did lose the joy of it. And he prays, "Restore the joy of thy salvation." Now, perhaps you say, well, that wasn't a great loss. But if you've ever tasted the joy of blessed assurance, the sense of his love, the tokens that God has received you and accepted you in Jesus Christ, then you know that that is a tremendous loss, to lose that by a life of disobedience. But even though a child of God may certainly walk in darkness here, the fact is he is preserved in grace by the sovereign power of God. Preservation is God keeping in Christ those that he has united to Christ in his grace. The word preserved in our text, "May God preserve you blameless," is the Greek word tereo, and it means to take care of, to guard, or to keep, like a soldier would guard a prisoner. He would watch this prisoner. So the Lord keeps watch over the souls of his own. Jude verse 1 says, "Jude, a servant of God and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called." Again, we have the same Greek word there. We are kept, we are guarded and watched and taken care of in Jesus Christ. And the verses in the New Testament that teach the doctrine of eternal security or the preservation of the saints are literally too numerous to mention on our program today. Let's look at a sampling of them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Apostle Paul closes his last letter, his swan song, before he died by saying to Timothy, "Timothy, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Apostle Paul disappears from history with this ringing cry of confidence on his lips. You see, the promise of divine preservation gave him strength and courage as he faced the chilly hand of death. He said, "God will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom," and he offers this doxology, "to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, God has promised to preserve his people. The psalmist David says it like this in Psalm 94, verse 14. He says, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." Now that's a blessed promise. The Lord will not. This is a matter of fact. You can mark it down. He will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. He says the same thing in Psalm 37. Listen to the 23rd verse. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Now, does the child of grace ever stumble along life's pathway? Does he ever falter and buckle beneath the temptations of this life? Well, the fact is, regrettably, he does. But you see, does not mean that he loses his salvation. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Just as we did not come into possession of eternal life by our own effort, so we don't keep it by our own effort. The Lord secured it for us, and he securely holds his sheep in his hand. He said in John chapter 10, "No man is able to pluck the sheep out of my hand." You see, he's the good shepherd and bishop of our souls. He keeps watch over his own. He sees every approaching predator, every potential danger, and the Lord safely guards his sheep even while they're at pasture in this world. What good news this is, then, that our good shepherd has promised they shall never perish. By the way, in John 10, when he says they shall never perish, in the Greek, that's an emphatic double negative. It means never, no, never. To add emphasis to the thought, Jesus says they shall never perish. You see, the ultimate salvation of a sinner does not depend on our grip on the Lord. It depends on His grip of us. Sometimes whenever I cross a busy intersection with one of my children, and maybe they have been holding my hand, they've had a grip of me. As we come to the intersection, I twist out of their grasp and I grip them. Because you see, I know that they might let go of me when they get into the middle of the road, but I know that I'm not going to let go of them. No wonder the hymn writer said, "Let me no more my comfort draw from my frail hold of thee. In this alone rejoice with all thy mighty grasp of me." My friends, His love will not let us go. He will never give up on His children. His grace will lead us safely home. Now, this doctrine of the preservation of the saints rests on three unchangeable truths. First, it is anchored in God's covenant decrees. I love Jeremiah 32, verse 40. "I will make an everlasting covenant with them, saith the Lord, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." Now notice the Lord covers both bases. He says, "I will not turn away from them, and I'm going to put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not turn away from me." Yes, my beloved, you say, what if someone's faith is overthrown by false teaching? Will they lose their salvation? I love 2 Timothy 2:18 in reference to that question. It says that the faith of some was overthrown by Hymenaeus and Philetus, who preached that the resurrection was past already. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Aren't you glad that your eternal destiny is not determined on the basis of the fact of how clear your mind is? Some people perhaps have become confused. But you see, it's the Lord who saved and the Lord who keeps. Our hope is in Him, not in ourselves, not in our efforts, not in our works. It is in His covenant decree. And secondly, eternal security is ensured by God's character. You see, we are in hope of eternal life, as Paul said in Titus 1:2, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We trust a faithful God. That's why our text said, "Faithful is He that calleth you." Not only is He faithful, He's immutable. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." You see, my friends, we will never be consumed because the Lord doesn't change. And even His love doesn't change. Romans 8:38 says, "I am persuaded that neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor life nor death nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the doctrine of eternal security is anchored in God's covenant decrees. It is ensured by God's character. And it's guaranteed by Christ's intercession. He lives today to ensure that all of His elect will receive the benefits of His death. He was not only the testator of the everlasting covenant, He rose from the dead to be the executor of His own estate, making sure that the disbursements are made and that everyone that He represented at the cross is brought into a relationship with Him. What good news it is then to know that it is grace that saves and grace that keeps. What a wealth of grace we've been given by the Lord. I hope that you will visit us this Lord's Day at Lexington Primitive Baptist Church for public worship. Morning worship starts at 10:30. Listen for the address, and next week we hope you'll join us again.